This is the Tom Likas Show.
I didn't even feel no pressure.
And now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Shit. Okay, that's cool. Tom
Likas. Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24/7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at tomeverywhere.com. That's tomeverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again, you and me. And it's time now for family law attorney Adam Sachs to join us in studio. I would say good to see you, Adam, but I've been with you all day.
No doubt.
Now, you were the winner of the auction to see Game 4 of the National League Divisional Series, the Dodgers against the Washington Nationals. Did you have fun? Do you regret being the high bidder?
Well, I was kind of the second thing. I missed the Game 3 auction. Someone outbid me.
Yeah.
So I said there was no way I'm going to miss the Game 4 thing. And I have to say, Tom, having spent the entire day with you, in spite of what anyone says, I think you're a real fun guy.
Yeah, you know, all the people are saying that I'm a dreadful bore, and finally now, the truth can be told. Adam Sachs says I'm not as boorish as everybody thinks.
You're a teddy bear, there's no doubt about
it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Now, I know the thing about, you know, people saying asshole, and you say, I take that as a compliment and all that, but it's far from the truth. And it was outstanding. Going to the game was incredible. You've got great taste. You always get the best seats and everything.
And what an exciting ending.
Well, the best part of all is that we were a little pessimistic, and our team won. The Dodgers kicked ass. It was beautiful.
Well, they didn't kick ass, but they did win, and that was the good thing. And they came back in dramatic fashion, which was a good thing.
And I sat next to the very hot daughter of a ball player, so that was good.
Yes.
And we saw a bunch of famous people. That was fun.
Yes, and I was enjoying my day explaining to you who they all were.
Well, I recognize some of the movie stars, but not too many of the athletes.
Yes. We sat next to Travis Barker of Blink-182.
Oh, that's right, right.
And Adam wanted to know who Blink-182 was.
Well, I'm the one who found out it was Blink-182.
You did? I didn't care that it was Travis Barker. I was just watching the game, but okay. Then you said, who's Blink-182? And I explained it to you. Then there was some guy over there. People were gathering. Who's that guy? Steve Garvey. Well, who's Steve Garvey?
Thank you.
So I was like letting you in on who all these people
who
were.
Who was the Pilots one? Pilots 51?
21 Pilots.
21 Pilots.
That's a current band.
There you go.
Blink-182 was from the 90s. And this is a current band. That not only a current band, they actually have current hit records, like hits.
And we had Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson.
James Woods.
James Woods was there,
Larry
yes.
King.
Larry King was there.
He looks just like Larry King, by the way.
He does, except you have no idea how little he is or how slumped over he is until you get close. Then you know.
But
suspenders and everything.
A great experience, that's all I can say. Yeah. A whole different story.
It's never boring down there, is it?
And like I said, they won, which is a real nice thing to see. And so we're going to have apparently another game, but it's going to be in on the East Coast. So
right,
we'll give that one a miss.
That's where the Washington Nationals play, in Washington.
Right. So, and, you know, Tom, I was thinking about how this all relates to family law.
Yes.
And I have to say that if I was married, I don't think I would have been able to do something so extravagant. Seriously. I think that when you're married, you got to go to the control tower.
Right.
And I would have told the control tower that I'm spending $1,500 or whatever it was on to go see a game, but to have an incredible dugout seat or whatever. And I think it would have been immediately vetoed by my significant other.
Right.
No matter what our financial circumstances were, she would have said, are you out of your effing mind? There's no way. Well, I promised Tom. Will you tell your friend Tom that you're not going?
I don't care who's going. I don't care.
Yeah, so I think that's definitely one advantage anyways. So God help you, Tom.
Right.
You know, I've had a couple of cases lately. This is something, you know, you're going to tell the end of this, so I already know. I had a guy call me whose wife is cheating on him. And so I don't know if you know this, like, philosophy, but he can't accept that he has a problem with her. So he starts screwing around with the boyfriend. It turns out that she's having an affair with a guy who's married or whatever from work. And so he starts hassling that guy. In other words, so if he can, you know, hassle that guy and theoretically make him go away, then he'll be back with his wife again, right?
Right.
Now, I pointed out to him that that doesn't make any sense because obviously his wife is a cheating whore, you know?
Right.
And why would you want her back and all that?
Yes.
But, I mean, his big thing was confirming that she cheated, and he did confirm it, and then he was so devastated and he was so angry, but then he's going to get even with her and he's going to, like, show her and he's going to talk to the guy and he's going to make the guy, you know, go away and leave her alone and I don't know what else. But the bottom line is that when all is said and done, the guy, you know, really got scared, I think. He was really calling him a lot and hassling him and stuff. And the guy went ahead and got a restraining order against him, would you believe? So this is the wife's boyfriend.
Right.
Got a restraining order against the husband. And then he's going to end up getting arrested, and his whole strategy when he...
How does he harass that guy?
Well, he was calling him, and he was threatening him and sending him texts, and he was going to tell his wife, or he's going to tell his boss, and, you know, he thought that somehow this would make the guy stop or whatever. But, I mean, it's always going to be ineffective, and even if it was working, then what does he get? He gets his wife back? Why would he even want her at that point, you know?
Right. Well, all I wanted, I had one of these where I was very angry because this was the last time I was really, really, really in love, and I thought it was forever. And she went out and fucked one of her coworkers and then denied it when I found out.
Unbelievable.
So I didn't want to get even with the guy directly. I did not want to put sugar in his gas tank
right.
or accost him somewhere. So, no, I didn't do that. I took all the evidence I found, the hotel receipts, the cards, the love notes. I made copies of all of that, and then... kind of Perez Hilton style, I wrote commentary on each one of them. Like, when's the last time your husband ever sent you a card like this? And I put it all in a FedEx overnight envelope.
Oh, God.
And I sent it right to her desk.
To his wife.
To his wife at her work. See, I knew what she did for a living.
Right.
And since it's defunct now, I can say she was a buyer at the Broadway. Remember the Broadway?
Right.
She was a clothing buyer at the Broadway. So I knew where her office was. I didn't have to go there. I didn't have to fire a shot. All I did was I put everything in an envelope, and I Federal Expressed it to her at her office so it wouldn't be delivered to their front door, and then he couldn't abscond with it.
Right, but you have to understand, like, he was doing it, my guy, in order to get the wife back.
Right.
You stepped past that.
I had no interest in getting her back. What I had interest in is making her life difficult without ever doing anything that would have my fingerprints on it or that I could get in trouble for. So I just simply sent a FedEx envelope to her office.
Right. Well, my guy had this strategy that made no sense where he was going to scare the guy off and therefore get the wife back, which made no sense. And I think you were just providing information to this person. You didn't really put yourself in the position to get a restraining order against you.
No.
But he did.
Right.
And he ended up being arrested, and he's got a whole mess for a situation that's not even remotely logical.
We all need to make this rule that says once you've caught your wife or husband doing something like that, that's it. It's done.
I think that's really significant. I was talking to him about it, and I was trying to, you know, I don't want to be too crude, but I said, you know, can you imagine that this guy was effing your wife, and then she was coming home to you, you know, a few hours later?
Right.
Isn't that disgusting, you know?
Right, yeah.
And he's like, oh, my God, I can't even think about that.
That's like crossing swords, for God's sake.
Yeah, well, she's a whore. It's just disgusting.
Right.
I mean, it's not some bitch that you screwed on the weekend. This is supposed to be your wife that loves you, and she's the mother of your children and everything, you know? So if she's blowing some other guy, that's a pretty bad sign, you know? And I'm not so sure that she's sorry, and I'm not so sure that you're supposed to accept her apology. But, I mean, I think that's it. I think that ends it right there. I don't know how these guys are, like, you know, going off on all these tangents. And, you know, I think there's a whole brain thing. There's a whole mental thing about jealousy and I don't know. So no. I had another weird one.
If I'm with someone who wants someone else, they should go there. But then don't try coming to me and taking everything I have on the way out the door.
Well, of course.
Well, that's what this particular ex was warning me that that's what she was going to do.
I think it's all about, well, there's a name for it. It's called one-itis. And that's when you really get your attention and focus on one person. And that's kind of what society encourages you to do. The whole idea of getting married, that you've met your soulmate, you met this perfect person. And I think that what happens to a lot of guys, I mean, this is something that I've said before, and it's definitely true, is, you know, they see the world as a very limited supermarket. So, you know, there's a whole world out there of women, but, you know, 98% of them say no to you, you know,
right.
Which is just how it is in life. I mean, that's how, if you're in sales, if you're doing anything marketing, I mean, if you're just going to clubs and talking to women, you're getting rejected 9 times out of 10. And you have to be able to cope with that. But what I think happens to a lot of guys is that a woman says yes finally, and they can't even believe it. You know, they're pinching themselves. And they think, like, you know, this is like the most specialist moment in my life. And if I, you know, ever give up this woman and start over, I'm never going to find another one that says yes. And I think that that absolutely, you know, informs the way these guys think. And they will not give up on a woman even after she has absolutely crossed every red line. And when a woman cheats on you in particular, and the cruelty of, you know, screwing her boss or screwing your best friend, or I've had cases the woman screwed the guy's brother or the guy's father even. And it's like, if a woman does that, I mean, that's it. That's, you know, if you go back to her then, you know, she just thinks you're a zero. You know, the fact that you would tolerate that, I mean, a woman wants you to be strong. A woman wants you to tell her what to do. I saw a very interesting documentary the other day, Tom, with this woman in one of the interviews was saying that she had worked for 10 or 15 years at an agency that did matchmaking. And she said that the one thing that women said when they talked about, like, you know, getting hooked up and she was, you know, going to match them with men, she says that women say, "Why do I always attract weak men?" That was the women's lament. You know,
yeah.
So when you say that women, you know, supposedly, you know, your mother tells you, you know, women want a sensitive guy or a guy that can show his emotions or a guy that can cry, that's bullshit.
Right.
A woman wants a man that projects strength, that won't tolerate her crap, that won't put up with her crap and will set her, you know, and straight and make sure that she, you know, does what she's told. I mean, when she sees that she can walk all over you. And the worst is not just being a bitch or being nasty, but to cheat on you and to, you know, screw around on you and you just accept it and you're, like, pleading for her to come back. That's twisted. She wants you to be furious and she wants you to really punish her. But the idea that you're saying, "Oh, please," and you're, like, trying to get the guy into trouble or whatever, I mean, that's just nuts. So the other weird thing that happened this week that I have to talk about is absolutely incredible. This is something you just don't think about, you know. I have this guy who I was doing his divorce, and he was a Likas listener, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife was really tough. She was really nasty. But he had some children, but they were grown up, so it wasn't such a bad deal. And we went through all these different things. They had a house, and we sold the house and all this other stuff. But he had a lot of health issues. And the sickest thing happened, Tom, which is that he died. He actually died.
Oh, my.
And we had already completed the divorce papers and submitted them to court. But it turns out that they had not yet been signed by the judge by the time he died. And so there's a little bit of issue in this, but it seems that because they had not yet been signed, that he wasn't divorced. And on the day that he died, he was still married to her. And since he died, the whole case is erased because it wasn't concluded. And this woman that he absolutely hated and hated him back, and she was nasty to him and he was nasty, you wouldn't believe. Well, anyway, on the day that he died, she was still his wife. And this is the important thing. He didn't have a will. Now, so many guys couldn't be bothered to spend a couple hundred bucks on a will. So he didn't have a will. He's dead. And so she's his sole heir because she's his wife. And he is literally going to bequeath to her literally like $1 million or more.
Oh my.
And this is the last person in the world that he wanted to give a dime to. You know? I mean, he hated her. And now he, you know, she's already like contacting me and like I have some of his money in my trust account. And she's like, hand it over, you know? And this is a woman who had been saying how much I hate him and I don't want anything from him and he's an SOB and all this. So, I mean, guys, I know it's depressing to think about dying or whatever, but you really have to think about these circumstances. And, you know, I guess it doesn't matter if you're dead, but do you really want to give all your money to your cunt of an ex-wife?
Definitely not.
Can you imagine?
Definitely not.
I mean, of all depressing things. And she was swearing, I don't want anything from him. He's such a jerk. And here she is, you know, the body isn't even cold yet. And she's like, you know, I heard you have, you know, X number of dollars handed over, you know. So, I mean, the way things go is so crazy. And the law in so many ways can have these strange outcomes, you know. It's unbelievable.
I don't even want to think about that possibility except to say...
Isn't that nauseating?
On the record, I have taken care of the paperwork. I am married to no one. And so nobody is going to inherit anything that I don't want them to get, and that's that. Just want to go on the record.
Well, you know, I mean, people say, well, you know, who cares if I'm dead, you know? But, I mean, I care, man. I remember thinking at one time... I'm not in contact with my father. And I remember thinking at one time, this is when I started really accumulating some money and I was working hard and all this. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a second, let me get this right here. If I die, then all my money will go to my father. And apparently that was true because it would have been because I wasn't married and I was a single guy. You know, half of my money would go to my mother and half would go to my father. And so, I mean, I couldn't even think of it that the possibility that by dying, this man that doesn't care about me and hadn't seen me and, you know, whatever, I mean, it would be one thing for my mother to get half my money, but for him to get the other half and to, you know, to become like a millionaire because of my death, I can't even think about that. I thought that was the craziest thing. And that really motivated me at the time to write a will. I said, this is when I was like, I can't let that happen, you know?
Right.
And there's an incident that I read about years ago where a girl who was about 16 died. She was killed in some kind of tragic accident, and she got a big amount of money from some settlement. And she got $700,000 or something. And the way it was, because she was only a 16-year-old girl, half of it goes to her mother and half of it goes to her father. Her mother had raised her, so that's fair, but her father had blown her off, and she had never known her father, and she had never had any contact with him, and he basically was just a sperm donor, and here he is showing up to collect his half. So he ends up getting $350,000 or whatever dollars from this daughter that he didn't give a shit about. I mean, that just that doesn't strike me as very fair.
Right?
I don't know how that works.
Right? Well, that's why you have to button this stuff up. You've got to lay some cash down and make sure that you are set up 6 ways from Sunday, that nobody you've ever been involved with is going to get a penny. Not unwanted children, not ex-wives, not ex-girlfriend, not current girlfriend, not anybody. And there's no way I'd give my money to people like that. No chance.
So anyway, aside from that, Tom, the fun little bit is that there's an article in Radar Online about Kim Kardashian's hotel heist. And they called me, and I'm quoted extensively in this article. So I want all the boys to check it out.
Radar Online, huh?
They have what is it? Beverly Hills expert attorney Adam Sachs says that Kim faked the whole thing or something like that. Just my opinion. So,
how did they find you? This is what I want to know. And Radar Online's got this tape, Kim Kardashian tape. And of all the people in the world, they call you. How did they get your number? How do they know where you were?
I've given these kind of, you know, expert analyses to, you know, InTouch and People and the National Enquirer.
Okay.
And I think that Radar is connected to the Enquirer somehow, right?
The Enquirer owns Radar Online.
Right,
yes.
Right.
The company that owns the Enquirer also owns them.
Right. So I think that they have some common reporters or whatever. So one of the people that is associated with that, you know, knows me, and they called me and asked me to comment on the legal analysis. So I should put you
in touch with my buddy Mike Walker.
Well, I don't know if I should be proud or ashamed of this, you know.
Well, you'll only know if you get sued for what you said.
All right, well, I'll be careful. I'll keep my errors and omissions policy paid up.
I know mine's paid up a day right now. No doubt.
Unbelievable.
No doubt.
You know, right. Tom, I swear I'm a little punch drunk from the sunlight, I guess.
Well, you certainly didn't drink any alcohol. I don't know why you'd be punch drunk from anything.
No, I just
playing bumper cars on the way out of Honda Stadium, maybe.
Yeah, that's true.
But
I can't believe you let me drive. That was really something. I had Tom as my passenger.
Did you want me to drive?
No, I was okay to drive, I guess.
I would have been happy to drive.
I think you've just, you know, taken your life into your own hands, you know?
Yeah. I do drive. People who drive me will never believe this, but I'm going to say I do drive a little more slowly than you do. And I do step on the brakes about half a block before the stop sign.
No, but we made it. We did great time, as I recall.
And we did as well as you can do in the rush hour. We did really well in that regard, yes. In fact, it took more time to get out of the dugout club at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
Than it took to actually drive from Dodger Stadium here.
Yeah, just getting up the stairs and stuff was kind of a big traffic jam. Yeah,
big McGillum. That's right.
For our Jewish friends.
That's right. Exactly. All right, it's the family law attorney, Adam Sachs. If you are listening at 7:34 p.m., on Tuesday, the 11th of October, 2016. You may think this is a replay, but it's not. This is a live show. And you can call in and talk with Adam right now. It's free legal advice for you. And all you have to do to get your free legal advice is call this number right now. 901-3000, Tom. Are you getting a divorce? Are you separated? Are you worried about losing touch with your kids or having to pay vaginamony? Any of that stuff? Are you stupidly thinking of getting married and you want to talk to somebody about a prenuptial agreement, a postnuptial agreement, what have you? Well, call us right now, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM, that's the number. It's 901-3000-866.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants. Get the app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. Another nighttime edition of the Tom Likas Show. Don't forget our Wednesday show. We'll be live at our regular time, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time. In fact, every show this week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all live at 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time. We hate to confuse you in any way, shape, or form, but, you know, life interrupts, and every now and then you got to do something, and can't do the show at the regular time. And fortunately, we live in this wonderful world where the show time can be any time we need it to be. So we just come in here and knock a show out whenever we can, and we do it. By the way, boys and girls, save the date, because on Thursday, October 27th, that evening, in Burbank, the boys and I are going to have our annual Halloween costume party that is coming up on Thursday, October 27th, in the evening in Burbank. Now, within the next day or so, you're going to be able to buy tickets to this event. But we want you, if you're planning on traveling from far away or whatever, could be just from some other part of California, maybe Arizona, maybe Australia. I don't know. Circle that date. I'm locking it in. It's a guarantee. It's a lock. We're going to have our Halloween party Thursday night, October 27th, Tinhorn Flats, Magnolia Boulevard in Burbank. Be there or else. We haven't had a party in a while, just a party where everybody can come, everybody can play. It's not a big expensive deal. So plan on that, will you? Thanks. Good. 901-3000, Tom. It's family law attorney Adam Sachs and your calls on a nighttime edition of the Tom Likas Show. 901-3000, Tom. That here is our number. It's 901-3000-866. Let's go to Roderick in Ocean Park, Washington. Roderick, you're on the Tom Likas Show with attorney Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
I'm doing okay.
Good evening.
Great. Glad to hear it. Well, I called a couple of weeks ago, Tom, about and some other unrelated topic, but I told you I'd gone on a yoga retreat. Prior to my yoga retreat, I had stopped by my ex-wife's apartment. It's one of those post-divorce apartments for women, you know, right along a major interstate.
Yeah.
Jeez.
What's the problem?
Okay, well, I got into it with some of these nasty white fat heifers with their little snot-nosed bastards playing out in the parking lot. They ran up on my truck. They were accusing me of speeding through the parking lot, and maybe I was, maybe I wasn't. But they ran up on me and got to yelling. I said a few unkind things to them, told them, leave me the fuck alone. I don't know you. You don't know me. Just get the fuck out of my face. I ain't even here for you. And from that, while I was gone, I guess that got me banned from the apartment complex. Now, it's to the point to where if I show up, I get arrested or some shit like that.
But it's your ex-wife, right?
Yes.
So who cares, right?
Right.
You don't need to see her, right?
Exactly. I don't.
Okay.
But according to my divorce decree, I'm to pick up my daughters either from school or their mother's apartment. Now, because I'm 2.5 hours away, sometimes because of traffic, I can't get there in time to pick them up from school.
Right.
So sometimes I have to stop by the apartment.
All right, well, obviously the smart thing to do is to try to avoid that situation. So, I mean, I don't know if they officially have you banned or whatever. You got to assume it's probably private property or something. So,
right,
you know,
right.
don't get into it. There's got to be a McDonald's or a parking, you know, lot or a park or a police station, you know, within like a half a mile one way or another. And just,
right.
You just meet them there. Right?
Well, this woman, she's...
How old are your kids?
She's 16 and 10. Now,
come on, have you got a 16-year-old, right? I mean, you know,
Oregon's, well, she's not, but now they're at a point where they don't want to see me or for whatever reason.
Well, that's a different thing.
Now, well, when they tell me this, they're crying. They're bawling their eyes out. And it just, it reeks of their mom polluting their heads or whatever the hell.
Yeah, that's pretty typical.
Either way. Right. Either way. I can't, according to Oregon state law, I can't enforce anything with a 16-year-old. If she doesn't want to see me, she doesn't have to.
That's true.
The cutoff age is 12, so there's that leaves my 10-year-old daughter. And now, I want to see her. I've got a lawyer on retainer for stupid little dumb shit any damn way. But it's, I guess my question to you is, should I even waste my fucking time with it? Should I just say, you know what, fuck it. If I have to, I'll get there 2 hours early at their fucking school and pick up my 10-year-old on my weekends. Or should I fight this with my attorney if, in the instance, I can't make it there?
Well,
and have to go to the damn apartment?
No, it's not that. I think you have to always try to exercise good judgment, you know? And if you can avoid confrontation, then you should. You know, so it seems that, you know, without getting the lawyers involved, if you can try to work something out to get at least the younger child, you know, I'm surprised about the 16-year-old. It seems to me that if she's 16, you know, she's like a young adult practically.
She
shouldn't be that manipulated by her mother. I presume she has her own cell phone, right?
Yeah. Oh, look, I won't bullshit you. I'm strict. I'm a bit of a dick. I'm a guy. I have daughters, and I don't want to ever see them on the fucking pole. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, but so, you don't want to push them away either.
Oh, no. It's not even that. You know, like, it's before we even had the damn divorce, me and the two girls, we went through group counseling, went through our shit and talked through our shit and whatnot, and it was great. I don't know what the hell happened. It was just, I go away for 3 weeks, I come back, and shit's been flipped upside down. I'm like, what the hell just happened? You know?
I know, but you make it sound like that's not exactly right. It seems like you did have some kind of incident or something. Your daughters are calling
or crying, or whatever. It wasn't with them. It was with these heifers out in the parking lot. It wasn't with them at all.
I understand. First of all, that's just silly, you know? I don't know what you got into the confrontation with them for, but if, you know, maybe those are the mothers of their friends or something, you know?
Right,
maybe that
right.
got back
I get
to them,
that.
You know, this guy, oh, it turns out it's your dad, and he's, you know, called my mother a bitch or whatever. I mean, you know, that's kind
of... Well, yeah, I was pretty derogatory and dismissive of him. You know, it was one of those, you know what, bitch, leave me the fuck alone type things.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
Get the fuck out of here.
You
know, you shouldn't be getting into things like that with people. Come on. You know, what do you care? I mean, seriously, why would you spend 5 seconds even thinking about them, you know? They're like non-entities, you know? You should just, you know.
No.
I mean, that's like an anger management thing, you know, to get so upset with these women that you don't know, that they're like threatening you and threatening them back and all this crap. I mean, that's stupid. You know, you have to try to kind of tone it down a little. I mean, you know, a 16-year-old, you know, she could be rebellious or whatever. But, you know, you're her father, and deep down she loves you, I'm sure. And so, you know, cutting you off is a very, you know, extreme thing to do. And it's not natural. And her mother may have obviously been, you know, putting her up to it or whatever. But you should try to kind of tone that down and, you know, try to be patient and kind and tell her, look, I love you. I want to see you. No matter what happens, you're always my daughter, blah, 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 you know. I think that's the correct approach.
I still do it. I mean, I send them daily texts, and every other day I'll send them a voice and all whatever before they go to school and whatnot. I mean, I do my due diligence with them and whatnot, let them know I'm still there and that sort of thing. So
yeah, maybe you have to temper your anger a little. I would say that's important too.
You know, it's just something about a heifer running up on you, cussing at you, calling you out your name.
I see these lesbianic women also, and they're really frightening. I don't know what to say. It's shocking.
And bitter.
Angry single moms.
And they're bitter.
Angry single moms. Angry single moms.
Let me tell you something.
You know?
When I get a woman on the phone who wants to hire me or whatever, and she starts it off with, you know, I'm a single mother, I'm already bracing myself, you know? I'm trying to be fair to her, but I know one way or another where the conversation's going, you know? And the conversation is going to, you know, men are pigs, and you're a pig, and my ex-husband's a pig, and I want men to be castrated, and it's like, okay. You know, I'm trying to patiently listen to this, you know?
Right,
so
I get you.
It's not, never very constructive. But, listen, I'm happy for you. You got two nice girls, and you want to try to do your best for them. And I'm glad that you're calling and, you know, looking at it in that way. So, you know, you can't allow the mother, whatever she does, and I've seen mothers do a lot worse than what you're describing. You know, you can't let her come between you guys.
Well, you know, to add to it, their lease runs out in 2 months, so address could be changing shortly any damn way. So,
so what are you sweating,
yeah,
what are you
like
sweating
said,
this place
those,
for? Big deal. It's going to be gone anyway.
You know, I don't like anybody telling me you can't see your girls. See my girls.
I know, you know, tell me
I can't see my babies.
I got to tell you, you have to pick your fights. You really do. And you don't want to be getting into a pissing contest with this kind of nonsense, you know? Seriously.
Gotcha.
I understand. You know, I talk to a lot of guys and they say, you know, she's disrespectful, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm sure it's true. Okay? And
I can give a fuck about that, man. Her opinion doesn't matter.
No, I know, but I'm just saying,
like,
a lot of guys tell me, you know, my ex-wife talks to me in a way I wouldn't talk to a waiter, you know? And it's like, you know, okay, that's, you know, it's not right. It's not what it should be, but you have to let it slide for the sake of your kids.
Those are sensitive ass dudes that need some self-esteem, quite honestly.
Right.
That's not me. I'm not that dude, man. I am not
I understand, but you describe this thing where you got in this big fight with these parking lot women. I mean, who gives a shit about them? Why would you waste 5 minutes on that?
Right. Gotcha. I got it. Makes sense.
All right. If you want to talk more about this, you know, give me a call
after
the show, or whatever. I'll help you out.
Well, I'd be able to hook you up, Roderick. We'll make that happen.
Oh, no, I'm good. I just, you know what? It was just good hearing somebody else say, pick your fucking battles, quite honestly.
Let me tell you, that's one of the great lessons in life.
By the way, remember from an emotional point of view that the more you don't engage and the more you don't give a shit, the angrier it makes her. She wants you angry.
She wants my reaction.
She wants to see that you care.
Live for that.
So when she treats you like shit, then she knows she's getting under your skin. And the best way to get under her skin is to never respond or react in any way, shape, or form. No sugar in the gas tank. No prank phone calls. No having pizzas delivered to her house. No TPing her trees. Nothing. You don't care. And you don't want her.
Are you listening to the words of wisdom here? Tom is so absolutely right. The fact that you get upset about it is actually, in a way, showing her that she still gets under your skin. And that shows her that you're still engaged. If you let it run off your back like water on a duck, that'll drive her up the frickin' wall. Then she can't even believe it.
What's that Scarface said? You need guys like me so you can point the finger at the bad guy. So, fucking right. You guys are fucking right. Hey, thank you, gentlemen. What you guys do is great. I love you guys for it.
Thanks.
And had it not been for you guys, I wouldn't have got through my fucking divorce unscathed. Have a good night.
All right. I'm proud of that. That's a good thing.
All right, Roger. Keep that up, by the way. Don't be
getting scared. Say, he sounds like a nice guy, but you got to look at this anger management stuff, Tom.
Well, more importantly, you know, a lot of people think when they get angry, they're going to make the other person feel bad or get angry too or whatever. But the reality is ex-wives, ex-girlfriends, baby mamas, they are constantly looking to see that you still care. As much as women treat us like shit, they will always look at the father of the children somehow as having some special place, even if it's only just to taunt and torture him.
That's true.
And the best way to get back at people, by the way, this doesn't just work for ex-girlfriends or ex-wives. You know, I had issues with my dad, and nothing got under his skin more to know than to know that I just moved on with my life and enjoyed a great life without his help or interference.
Right.
Nothing drove him crazier than that. And so I've said this on the show. This is nothing new. I've said many times, what's done is done. When a relationship is over, I don't press the rewind button. I don't ever go back anywhere I've been before. Once she fucks me over or makes my life difficult, I cut her off at the knees. There's no more conversation. There's no more debating or discussing. It's done. And nothing hurts their feelings more than that. Nothing.
Yeah, the real revenge is always living well.
That's right. But more importantly, living better than they do. They hate that.
No, it's definitely true.
I think of all my exes who are living in shitty apartment buildings around town, and I say, you know what, girls? It was nice knowing you.
Yeah.
I never blame them. I don't come on the show and start kicking the shit out of them. Never. Because I did it the right way. I went off and had an even better life without them. And without them dipping into my cache of cash, C-A-C-H-E-C-A-S-H, without them dipping in, my life got even better.
Right.
So, girls, you know, enjoy the bed bugs, enjoy the cockroaches, enjoy living in these shitty apartments with the windows that have been painted over 1,000 times.
Yeah.
I'm living the good life and you're not, and that's that. Why would I want to go back and taunt these women except to just continue living a great life?
You know, I think that there's definitely a part of female psychology that they really would like to see that, you know, after, you know, you and them broke up, that your life fell apart without them.
Right.
And to just live your life and do your own thing and to, you know, be happy and kind of, you know, let it happen in that way, I think that that just kills them. And if you see, like, in movies, women always talk about their ex-husband or their ex-boyfriend and they say, I can't believe it. I heard he's, you know, living with this beautiful model and he's got this new apartment. And, you know, that's what pisses a woman off the most. you know, she would like to see you die, essentially, after, you know, she's done with you.
Right. I actually had women say to me, you'll never find anybody like me.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll never find anybody who'll do what I do for you, blah, blah, blah. The reality is, the world is awash in women who'll do things for me. As a matter of fact, every time you meet a new one, they're going to do way more than the woman you're with now, because they want to snare you. So the new women you'll meet are going to be making you sandwiches and doing your laundry and saying, oh, you know, since you've been alone and you got those pizza boxes piled up in the corner.
Maybe I can clean up for you.
You got your socks on the floor. That's so cute, the way you throw your socks on the floor. And meanwhile, your current chick is saying, you're such a slob. The pizza box is on the floor and the socks all over the place. So what I do is I always take the path of least resistance and move on to somebody who's going to do whatever I want them to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyone who doesn't want to do it doesn't have to do it.
Yeah, but I just think what he was talking about in terms of going back to the neighborhood and fighting with the neighbors and getting it in with everybody, that's nutty. You got to avoid stuff like that. That's
right.
Not leading anywhere positive.
Yes.
That reminds me of that guy that I started talking about before, where he's you know, he's all engaged in this thing where he's trying to get the wife's new lover in trouble or something.
Right.
What for? What for?
Right.
Give a shit what he's doing.
I don't want to know what they're doing.
He's taking your leftovers.
That's
seriously.
Right.
You got her when she was young and hot and 22, you know?
Right.
Now she's all stretched out and used up and she's pissed off and you're like taking this thing that nobody wants and giving it to her. You know, to him, I should say.
Do you know what I did?
Congratulations.
I'm
going
to admit to this because
people
already know about it. When we were in Portland having our dinner with listeners, they got a special bonus.
Yeah.
You know the chick I always talk about who had the, I had her when she was fresh and new and right out of USC and it was just so hot and everything. She was half Spanish, half Mexican. She was hot, hot, hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I talk about this woman and her poor cuckolded husband who's walking around with the Hello Kitty pink wagon and dragging the girls around in the wagon. I actually whipped out my smartphone and I showed the photos of this girl.
Oh, God.
And her family. I showed them to the people at the dinner. So
I think I've seen this. You showed it to me, didn't you?
I probably did.
Is this the oven one and all that?
No. No, the oven one, that's another one.
Oh, oops.
That's another one. This is one who, that was the one with the oven, dressed as an oven for Halloween. She was the one who would not move out for a year and a half, and I had to take her to couples counseling so that I didn't have to call 911 or have her evicted. I had to take her to a couples counselor.
I remember that.
So the counselor could explain to her that I was telling her, I don't love you, and I don't want you living in my house anymore. It took a counselor to do that. But no, this is another one who I just dated briefly, but it was wonderful because she was a tight, hot little specimen right out of college. So great. And she never even bothered me about getting married or having kids, but it was clear that that was the path she was on.
Oh, yeah.
For her timeline, that was what was coming. So later, it popped up on Facebook. It said, people you may know.
Oh, dear.
And, you know, Facebook knows everyone you've ever known. So it was a person with a different last name. So I went and checked, and it was this girl. And there were her wedding pictures, and there were her pregnancy pictures. And ultimately, there were the pictures. She apparently had three kids in, like, 30 months. She had one kid, and then she had two twins.
How nice.
Three girls. And there's the husband, the poor husband. And by the way, this girl's seen better days. You see photos of her in the turkey neck is starting to kick in, and the wrinkles are kicking in. And by the way, you follow the timeline on Facebook, and as you go through time, it begins with the wedding, and they're dressed up, and they're having their first dance as husband and wife, and all these pictures of the two of them. But as you go over time, eventually the husband is like phased out of the photos, and it's her and the girls and the pets they have and everything but the husband, except for this one poor pussy-whipped photograph of the husband dragging the girls home in a pink wagon and looking like he has the weight of the world on his shoulder.
Right.
And I tell people, do you really think I'm stalking these people? I'm looking and going, holy shit.
Yeah, I was this close and dodged a bullet.
I dodged a fucking bullet.
Yep.
That, if I were in love, that would have been me dragging the pink wagon around and three kids in like a year and a half, 2 years.
Jesus, talk about dodging the bullet.
Terrible. Just terrible. So, yeah, I mean, I look at these photos and I say, good for me. I did a great job getting at it. I got her when she was still wantable and gettable. And now the husband, he's got to, he's got four females in the house. Good luck. Do I feel, am I jealous of that guy having four females in the house? No! No, I'm not. 901-3000 Tom, that's our telephone number. We are here with family law attorney Adam Sachs. Questions for Adam about separation, divorce, child support, vagina money, child custody, prenups, postnups, restraining orders, all of it. Marriage is so romantic. 901-3000 Tom, still to come, we have a caller from Texas who wants to know what questions he should ask every divorce attorney he interviews. What are the questions you should ask a divorce attorney when you're looking for one? So he's coming up next. 901-3000 Tom, that is our telephone number. It's 901-3000-866.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, a nighttime edition, family law attorney Adam Sachs, and your phone call at 901-3000-TOM. That's the number, 901-3000-TOM. These are family law questions for Adam Sachs, 901-3000-866. Juan in San Antonio, Texas, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam. Hello.
Hello, Tom. Hello, Hebrew Hammer.
What's up?
Yeah, so my question was, I didn't know that you were actually licensed in a few states, so I called in to find out what are, like, some basic questions that you can ask and a divorce attorney to know whether or not it's a good divorce attorney, because I've had friends that have gone through a divorce, and they just, like, got ripped. I mean, they just got taken to the cleaners and stuff.
Right.
So what are some basic questions?
Well, I mean, one of the things that you really have to think about is, you know, as a man, would you want to work with a woman lawyer?
And of course
I think
not.
That's, well, yeah, I think that's really stupid, honestly. I'm amazed at how many guys call me and tell me that they hired a woman lawyer and she completely screwed them over and took the wife's side, you know? And
right.
I'm like, yeah, big surprise, you know? Women stick together. And there was a woman, you know, at one point in our area in Los Angeles that was supposed to be a dad's rights, you know, woman lawyer. She ended up getting disbarred. I mean, seriously, it's just, it's nonsense. So, I mean, first of all, I just don't think women make very good litigators anyway. But, you know, you have to definitely consider that. You need to look for a male lawyer, especially then, who is, you know, a father's rights advocate, if you're a father, you know, men's rights advocate. You want someone that's been doing it for a little while. You don't want a guy who just graduated from law school who's experimenting on you, you know.
Right.
And you have to really make this very crucial decision whether you want someone who's a sole practitioner, which is what I am, which is basically, you know, a lawyer who works on his own or maybe has some other associates who are, you know, who he works with, which I do. Or do you want a law firm of, let's say, you know, 6 lawyers or 10 lawyers or whatever? That's more of a kind of a factory, a mill,
right,
of a divorce.
So that would be more expensive, right?
Sometimes it is, yeah. But I think that one of the other things that happens in a larger firm like that is that, you know, you kind of get handed around. You know, people ask me about this, and it's very true. And, I mean, aside from, you know, real illness or something, you hire me, and I'm going to be your lawyer. I'm going to be in court taking care of your case. You're going to meet me.
Right.
You're going to be able to get me on the phone, you know. But when you work in with a larger firm, sometimes you get passed around. And you have a really important court hearing, and you get there in the morning, and you've got this lawyer who you don't recognize, you know? And you're like, who are you? And they tell you, oh, I know you usually work with John, but I'm Bob. I'm his associate, you know? but don't worry, I pretty much know the case, you know?
Yeah.
And this guy's like, you know, kind of thumbing through your paperwork, trying to figure out, and it's, you know, a very important hearing to you, and you think you have a good relationship with Bob, and it's not that this other guy, John, is an asshole or anything, he's a nice guy, but, you know, he doesn't really know you, he's just looking at your thing for the first time, you know, right before the hearing. That's really a shame, and that happens to a lot of people, and they're very disappointed. You know, I get involved where I know the case and I'm really interested and I try to remember all the details and all these little things that are important to people. And so then when I come into court and it's like, you know, you see me, you're like, oh, thank God you're here. You know, let's go kick some ass. I hate to say it to you in reverse, but let's look at it the other way, to be honest. This is really important, by the way. Think about it from my point of view. You know, I want to get clients. I want people to hire me. But at the same time, I don't take everybody. There are some people that get into some crazy stuff with me where in our first or second conversation, they're like arguing with me, you know, they're very disagreeable and they kind of have their own opinion how things should be done and so forth. And
right.
One of the critical things that I really believe is that it's not just you giving me money as though I'm a hired gun and I just go fight the war for you. I want you to be my partner. I want us to work together, you know? And when
right.
I tell
yeah.
you, I need you to look something up, I need you to find someone's name, I need you to be involved in your own case, I want you to be thrilled, you know? I want you to say, yeah, man, I'm here helping you, you know? And
right. Now, I remember seeing a movie where, I don't remember what it was, but it's like somebody said, you should listen to people who know, you know what I mean? It's like, well, what the fuck do we know? I mean, you're the lawyer that everybody should listen to you. That totally makes sense.
I understand, but I need you, if you were going to be my client, I need you to be there with me. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And that's really important to me. I really think that that's a critical aspect. And it's very, very, very painful for me when I talk to someone and I say, you know, we got to get custody of your kids and we got to protect your rights as a father. And they say, yeah, whatever, that's not that important to me. You know, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm not going to represent you. You don't care about your kids. You're kidding. You know, I mean, that's really harsh, you know? So, you know, when you're talking to a lawyer, I think, you know, you should kind of judge this issue of, you know, do you want someone in a big firm or you want someone in a smaller kind of setup and you want to get personalized service? You know, you say to the guy, listen, can I call you on the weekend if there's an emergency? Are you going to give me your cell phone number? Am I going to get your personal email? You know, I mean, how engaged are you in this? You know, Tom mentioned this happened to him and it happened to a lot of people. Tom had it wasn't family law, but Tom had a woman lawyer and she was perfectly competent. But at one point, she got pregnant and had a baby. And now all of a sudden she's
had
a partner.
Twins, which
oh,
I had to
twins,
hear about regularly.
Okay, well,
you know, I just had twins. You want me to call you back right away? I mean, I can't. I got twins.
Well, she went from being
she's a lawyer.
Well, she went from being really competent to being a part timer. And as
right.
Tom said, you know, it's difficult when you're talking to people and they're always telling you, you know, I mean, it's one thing you want to talk about your kids, but it's like, you know, how come you didn't call me back? Well, my son had a sore throat or whatever, you know. It's like, great for you. You know, what about business? What about
exactly.
being a professional, you know?
I was just about to say that business is business. I mean, you know, it's what you get paid for.
You know, if you say to someone like, look, you know, if I really am in trouble here, I mean, you know, you've got like responsibilities that are going to like make you go to other countries and I'm not going to be able to find you or whatever, you know? I mean, that really does make a difference. And, you know, I have tried, I'm not perfect, but I have tried to be there for my clients no matter what happens. And I've had people in the most crazy, painful situations, you know, you can imagine. And what Tom said is right. This crazy woman, you know, is telling him all, you know, well, I couldn't call you back because of my twins. And it's like, you know, okay, I'm happy for you that you had kids, but, you know, she actually turned into someone that he couldn't work with anymore.
So how easy is it to just, like, let go of a lawyer and get another one? I mean, are you under contract or what's
yeah.
the deal with that?
Usually the problem with, you know, as you say, you know, changing lawyers is that the new lawyer has to get up to speed, you know. So what ends up happening is you fire your lawyer. That's okay. You know, people call me sometimes. They say, look, I don't think it's, you know, really going the direction I want. I'm going to get a new lawyer. No hard feelings. And so I give the file to the new lawyer. But I think what ends up happening is that the new lawyer, right off the bat, has to put 20 hours in reading the file and understanding what's going on so far, you know?
Right.
Getting caught up on the story. And let's say there's a trial in 2 months or something. They got to kind of look at 2 years of what's already happened, and that might cost you literally thousands and thousands of dollars of
right.
time for that lawyer to get to the place where your other lawyer was. I mean, if I've already been your lawyer for a year and I know everything, you know, you'd be stupid to get rid of me. You know, let me finish the case. I know what I'm doing, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what was I going to say? So basically, I mean, that's why I'm calling, is like, what are like good questions to ask to keep your lawyer so that that kind of stuff doesn't happen.
Well, you know, you just want to have someone who's going to, you know, send you a bill every month, you know, and try to be fair. I mean, I try not to be a pig with people. Like, for example, a lot of lawyers, if you call them on the phone, they charge you for the call, you know.
Shit.
And generally, unless you're, you know, doing it too much, I usually let that slide, you know. So if you send me an email or you call me, we talk for 5 minutes, I don't bill you for that. You know, that's very generous, really, because
I have to tell you, I had an attorney at one time who would call me up and we...
He called you.
He would call me up and we would have a piece of business to discuss. We would discuss it. Then he'd ask me how things were going and how's your house and where have you been this summer. And then when I'd go look at the bill, he was billing me for every minute we were on the phone.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Talking about nothing.
Yeah.
Talking
yeah.
about nothing that had to do with business.
I remember the guy who got the big beating, Rodney King.
Yep.
His lawyer went to his birthday party and charged for like 4 or 5 hours at the birthday party.
Oh, nice.
So there you go.
Love
Which, but if
that.
You think about it, if you knew who Rodney King was, you know, maybe he really kind of suffered going to his birthday party, so he wanted to, like, you know, put it on the bill. But Tom's right. You know, you're having what you think is a casual conversation, and the truth is the lawyer's just extending it to be a half an hour or an hour so he can bill you the extra time.
Gotcha. So maybe like, gather up all your facts, give him a quick call, go through them all, and then just, I mean...
It's also,
right down to
it's
it.
Also,
check
I think,
your invoices too, because
they
some of these guys, it's amazing, they write down anything. Ever call someone and sit on hold for 5 minutes waiting to talk to them, and then you get a bill, and they've been billing you for all that time you've been sitting on, please hold on, your call is important to us,
yeah,
and you're paying
right.
for it.
You shouldn't be getting billed for time on hold. That's really...
Well, those are people
that's disgusting.
I set out to pasture. That's what I did
yes,
with them.
Yes, I understand. Mm-hmm. I think that's a little too much.
Piggy.
But listen to me. The other thing you really have to ask yourself generally is, you know, how you feel about the person. You know, do you just talking to them, you know? People talk to me and they say, wow, you're tough. You're very aggressive, you know? Maybe that's good. Maybe that's something you like. Maybe that's something you don't like, you know? I think a lot of the reason people hire female lawyers is because they want someone who's touchy-feely, which is nice, I guess,
right.
but she's not going to necessarily kick ass in court, you know?
Right. That makes sense.
Don't forget, Tom and I are from the school that if you call, you know, us assholes, we see that as a compliment, you know?
Yeah.
I am an asshole. What's,
there you go.
Proud to say.
What states are you licensed in?
I am licensed
just so everybody
in
would know.
New York, Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C., Alaska, Arizona, Washington State, California, and...
Juan is in Texas. No Texas?
One other I'm not remembering at the moment.
Okay.
But listen, don't worry about it. I could actually represent you in Texas. There is a special way of doing that where the states have reciprocity, and I could even represent someone in a state that I'm not officially licensed in.
So if you want to hang on, Juan, and we'll put Dean on with you, and he'll hook you up with Adam.
For sure.
Well, I'm just starting this, like, you know, because I've been with her for 23 years. We've been married 19, but
Jesus,
it's like,
19 years.
Yeah,
you're gonna pay.
I don't have anything.
Oh, well, maybe that's why. What's wrong after 19 years? I mean, you guys have been having a good time.
It really hasn't been that great the whole time. I'd probably say about half the time, but, I mean, the thing is, I'm a nice guy, and...
Problem number one.
Let shit go. Yep, exactly.
Nice guys finish last, baby.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, there's always a line, man. and I'm looking into this and the things right now, I'm like between jobs and I'm actually kind of working at her place. It's
you work for her?
Crazy. No. I work at where she works. But it's kind of crazy because her boss is hitting on me.
Wow, that's incredible.
That's been in the back of my mind. And then it's a lot of the bigger problem is like, we actually moved from LA about 9 years ago. And
really?
I actually made the biggest mistake by bringing her mother-in-law with me. So
your mother-in-law?
Her mom. And I was trying to get away from her family because she's got a brother and a sister. Brother's a drunk, sister's supposedly an ex-drug addict. And now they're both over here, so it's like, fuck, man.
Jesus.
Can't get away from them, you know?
Dude, where'd you find all these ganky relatives, man? Holy cow.
Everybody listening out there, man, just fucking get rid of that shit, man. Don't even start. Like, don't even get married, I guess.
Well, you know, once you marry someone, you know, you don't just get, like, whatever. You get the whole set. And, you know, you have to always look at the factory. If a woman has a really nutty mother, and she's got this drug addict sister, that's certainly a reflection on her, you know? That's certainly a red flag of some kind. You should be at least a little concerned.
Actually, my wife is the only sane one in the family.
Yeah, but look how she gets dragged down by them.
Exactly. She's all about family. She's too much about family, you know what I mean? And they're enablers, and that's their biggest problem, my wife and her mom. So.
Wow.
And I've just, like, had it, man. It's I'm done, you know? Everything for them and nothing for anybody else.
So you know what? I've been telling the guys, and in fact, it's no secret anymore. I'm writing a book that'll be coming out soon. And that's one of the things I talk about in the book. I don't care what you think of your girl or how great she is in the sack. If you're thinking about being with somebody like that, just remember, there are all these red flags out there. And if her mom's a drug addict, or if her mom weighs 300 pounds, or if her mom is a troublemaker, that's what you're getting.
Right.
Yeah. Well, actually, you're exactly right, because her mom is lazy, and so is my wife.
Great.
But any idea when your book's coming out, Tom?
Hopefully, first quarter of 2017.
Right.
Oh, sweet. That's awesome.
Yes.
I need an autographed copy.
We'll make that happen.
Very important.
That would be awesome. Hell yeah. I actually.
We're losing you.
His volume kind of.
I saw. Hello?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
That speakerphone.
I saw this. I saw a picture of you guys with Jim Ladd, and I actually bought his book a long time ago, and we used to work at Dino's old neighborhood, the 90069, a hardware store right down the street.
Yes.
So I saw Jim Ladd, and actually I heard him, and I had bought his book, and I asked him if he would sign it for me. I didn't have it on me, so I asked him where he would be so I can get it signed, and he actually gave me his phone number, and I just never called him because I wouldn't do that. There's no way, but that guy is the coolest fucking guy ever.
Jim is the most genuine person I think I've ever known in the radio business, and that's what something he would do, give you his cell phone number. Yeah.
I mean, the conversation I had with him was awesome. I mean, one of the things I asked him was, like, favorite guitar players. And, I mean, he gave me a list, and I wrote everything down. And, man, he's just, like, an awesome guy.
He is.
I wish you guys would have him on there one of these days or something.
We are going to have him on at some point. And, he was at my 60th birthday dinner.
Yeah, that's where I saw the picture, exactly.
Yes. And it was a very small group of people I've known for 20 years or more. They were all people I've known forever and ever. And he was totally cool.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much, man. I've been listening to you guys forever. Early, late 2000 or something like that.
All right. Give me a call, and I'll try to steer you right.
All right. Thanks a lot, you guys.
All right, Juan. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Adam, how do people get in touch with you?
You know, Tom, before I will tell in a second, seriously, can you believe this guy? 20 years?
Yep.
It's unbelievable, man.
I know.
You see, when you look at statistics and they say, you know, a third or two-thirds of marriages end in divorce, his would actually be in the one-third that didn't get divorced. And meanwhile, he's putting up with all this crap. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Because he's a nice guy, he told us.
Why should a nice guy get screwed? It's not fair.
Because nice guys don't complain when things become unacceptable.
But see how women think? His wife has the mother move in or move nearby and the sister and all the mishigas and craziness of everybody.
Yep.
And she's super wrapped up in her family and her mother's nonsense. And he's just sitting there saying, okay, honey, that's okay, honey. I'm sorry, honey. Right? He doesn't get to say no.
Right?
Anyway.
Well, he could say no. If he started saying no early on, maybe he wouldn't be in the same position he's in now.
Right. That's a different kind of tragedy.
It really is.
So it shows that by accepting it and being decent and trying to be kind and to be a decent husband, she just sees that as a further and further opportunity to push the envelope even further.
Exactly right.
Anyway, you can reach me toll free at 1-800-340-7320. It's 1-800-340-7320. You can find me on Facebook and also on the World Wide Web at www.adamlawyer.com. And if you want to email me, which I really like, and you can email me and I will answer personally, you can send an email to adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right, and if you missed your chance to call and talk to Adam, you'll be getting another chance to talk to Adam. It's coming up on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time.
6 p.m. next time.
6 p.m.
For reals.
Yeah.
No more baseball games.
Well, there might be, but it won't be next Tuesday. Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Yes.
Kim Kardashian has filed a federal lawsuit against MediaTakeout.com.
Yep. They came up with this story that accused her of lying about this whole Paris robbery. And this where you always got to be careful. You got to say it's alleged, maybe, we don't know.
Yeah. They said that there was evidence that Kim staged the robbery.
Right.
Yeah.
And they probably did not put it in the right words.
They probably didn't.
But somebody's got a shit ton of money to throw at that, I'm just saying. And her name is Kim.
Correct.
And so she ain't going to just let that go. But I don't know, I don't think these are the last people that are going to, allege that.
No, this is probably the beginning of many. And you got to be real careful with this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, you do. I mean, a lot of it looks a little, sketchy.
Correct.
Yeah.
You can hope for a particular outcome. I'm hoping for a particular outcome myself.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's right.
Yeah. She says Media Takeout reported if she faked the robbery, she just committed a federal crime.
I don't see where that's a problem because it says if she faked the robbery.
Right.
If.
It seems kind of like, speculation. That's all.
Any robbery that's faked on that scale is a federal crime.
Of course. What are we doing? Nicki Minaj says she wants women to ditch men and build their own empires. She says that younger women now... Not feeling so great about marrying guys for their dough. She sees this trend. I don't know if anybody else is seeing it.
I think she has a tough hill to climb.
Yeah. She says that she doesn't want that to be a woman's goal in life.
Right. She says if you have to be able to know what you need. No man on this planet at all. You have to be able to know that you need no planet.
Man on the planet. You have to be able to know that you need. You don't need any dudes, dude.
Right.
That's
on
what
this
she's
planet,
saying. Period. Done. So you don't need any guys. That's what she's out there saying that right now.
Fine.
Nicki Minaj says to young women, "You don't need a dude. This is fantastic."
Let her rip.
She says this in Marie Claire, by the way. I know that you...
Yeah. I like... Regular I personally like Eclairs, but that's a different magazine.
Eclair. Eclair magazine.
Eclair magazine. Yeah. Delicious. What's wrong with that?
Marie Claire, fuck her.
Now Jim Carrey is not only up against the former husband of his girlfriend, now the mother, too, also looking for a payday. He says, or his lawyer says, they're both completely nuts, and this is crazy. According to TMZ, they haven't been in touch in a hell of a long time.
Right, her this whole thing, his attorney says, is a sham. Right. And I'm going to side with Jim so far and his attorney. Just the way this stuff is coming out, you know, Marty Singer knows what he's doing.
Yeah, all right. And finally, the great Glorious Allred now out there on behalf of America insisting that we get our hands on those Apprentice tapes that we haven't heard yet.
The best is that Glorious, she's not one to back down, so she just showed up at the... Beverly Hills Opera.
By the way, in a beautiful pink pantsuit.
Yeah, but the best is she showed up at Mark Burnett's office. Yes. And Mark Burnett has a connection to this show because of celebrity boxing one time. And
yes.
All kind of crazy stuff that went down. Well, so she just showed up in front of his office.
She's demanding some action.
She
and we'll
wants
see what happens with
answers.
That. I know.
And I say yes.
Yes. Plenty more news for guys.com. Of course, you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.